Okay, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year to you. I wasn't here last week. I swapped with Stuart, and I missed you all. I missed God's family. I want to just take up the theme, right, that Tricia was on about praying God's promises or praying God's success upon people, right? I was reading... one day last year, I was reading Brenda's daily readings, and I come across, a daily readings there, right? And he was talking about, Praying Hyde, who was, a missionary in India, and he was, his ministry was, praying. He used to pray. That was his ministry. And he used to pray for people and pray God's blessing on people. And one day he was listening, to an evangelist. And this evangelist, was in his approach to people and his approach to, the people, his congregation or whoever he was speaking to was cold, was very cold. And, you know, this troubled Praying Hyde. And he was going to go and approach this evangelist and tell him about it and tell him, that his ministry was cold and ineffective. And you know what? God stopped him in his tracks. God said, no, don't do that. Pray for that brother. Pray for his success. Pray for his ministry. And you know, that's what Praying Hyde did. He prayed for him, and that brother, that evangelist, became tremendous. And you know, that's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to pray for you that in 2016, that you will be a success, that your life and your witness will be a success. And I want to start, what I've got to say this morning, by reading this, 76 years ago, on New Year's Eve, 1939, that's 2 years before I was born, so you can see how old I am, King George VI, the present Queen's father, addressed the Commonwealth by radio. Britain had been at war for 4 months. Canada, along with Australia and New Zealand, had joined at the beginning. Norway had not yet been overrun by Germany. France had not yet fallen. Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg had not yet been conquered, but would be in the next 4 months. On the precipice of what could have been global ruin, King George VI made this statement. And, you know, this is applicable to us in the beginning of 2016. And he said these words. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. This statement stands true not only at the gate of a new year, but at the gate of every day. There is the big picture we have of God's sovereignty in a world described as being under the control of the evil one. We live in a fallen world, but it is a world in which God works out his purposes. Every Christian needs to be a part of God's agenda, and we need to be asking God to put a compass in our hearts that will lead us in the direction he wills us. God will only guide a moving vehicle, so we have to be a people who are spiritually growing and developing in Christ. God's direction only comes out of a living, active relationship with Jesus. So I just thought I'd read you that. That's not my message this morning. But that's a message right to me and to you this morning. Right in 2015, or at the end of 2015, I had two experiences. I was watching the television one day, and a program came on the television, and it's called Fake Britain. And right, it's a really interesting program. And as I was watching this program, and the presenter of the program, he was talking about all the things that are fake in Britain. And he started off by saying, right, that I don't know if it was Dover, somewhere along that coast, and right, the people who were in charge there, the officers, right, there was a shipment come in right into Dover, and right, it was fake. It was thousands and thousands of tons of fake, fertilizer that you put on right fields that have right cabbages, carrots, all vegetables of every kind. And it was thousands of tons of this fertilizer. And it was all fake. And then there was another case where, right, the presenter showed, right, all these, like, scooters. I expect Ruben's got one, I expect Simeon's got one, and children ride them. And it showed, right, it showed the true scooter, and it showed the fake scooter. And right, there was no comparison. The difference was unimaginable. And right, really, the scooter was unsafe. It was unsafe to ride. It was a fake. And then there was another right instance where right there was old age pensioners in their homes, and they'd been phoned by a firm, right, saying that, right, they were Sky, and, right, they wanted these old people, these old age pensioners, to renew their Sky policy. And, right, these old people were taken in, they were sucked in, right, they paid the policy, but the firm wasn't from Sky, they had nothing to do with Sky. It was a fake. It was a fake. And right, I had an experience, right, in 2015, just after I'd watched this program about fake Britain. I went to the bank in Brimau, Barclays Bank. That's where I bank. That's where me and Brenna bank our money, the little money we got. But I took to the bank, right, quite a substantial amount of money. And I handed it over, and the cashier in the bank started to count it. He pulled out his £20 note. He looked at it like that. He teared it a little bit. Then he put it down. He got a pen, and he put a tick on it, and it turned yellow. He said, "It's fake. It's a fake." That's never happened to me before. It was a fake. It was a fake £20 note that got in the system. And right, I had to lose that £20 note. I had to go to the Bank of England, and they would test it to see whether it was fake. Well, I know that they have tested it, because I would have heard by now, right? And I'd have had the £20 note back. But it's a fake. It's a fake. So I want to talk right this morning about what's true and what's fake in the Christian life. And Jesus warns, right, his hearers, and he talks about this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. He says, beware of, literally, hold your minds away from false prophets, persuader prophets, persuader brothers, persuader apostles, persuader teachers, persuader speakers, persuader witnesses, persuader Christs. In each case, persuader means false, fake, sham. So we can see, right, that there is the true and there's the fake. And John, right, in his epistle, and that's, right, if you want a text this morning, that's my text, right, it's from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and he says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. And notice, right, the little word test, test. We are to test the spirits. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. So that means this, that you are to test what spirit is in me, and I'm to test what spirit is in you. The mention of the Holy Spirit in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and that's the chapter before chapter 4, prompts John to inform his readers that other spirits exist. Demonic spirits who produce false prophets and false teachers to propagate their false doctrine and false teaching. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. So we can see that there is the true, but there is the fake. And John says this, Christians and the Christians in his day and the Christians today, us, right? John's day, there was, right, the congregation that he spoke to, the Christians then, and, right, Christians now, right? Christians are to have a healthy skepticism regarding any new teaching. Unlike some among John's congregation who were too open-minded to anyone claiming a new teaching regarding the faith. Christians are to be like the Bereans, who, as students of the word, examine the scriptures to determine truth and error, to determine what was true and what was fake. And we write, if you want to read the verses there, is Acts chapter 17 about the Bereans and verse 11 and 12. The word test is a metallurgist term. It's right to do with metal. And right, the term is used for analysis of metal to determine the purity and value. Christians must test any teaching with a view to approving or disapproving it. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21, we read these words, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gift and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelation, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation, or warning, but test. There's the little word again. Test the Spirit. Test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. John reminds his readers that behind human teachers who propagate false doctrine and error are demons inspired by Satan. Human false prophets and teachers are the physical expression of demonic sources. We read it right in 1 John chapter 4, these words: "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God." Right, we've just been celebrating about Jesus coming in the flesh, about his incarnation, being born right in Bethlehem, right? God becoming man. John gives a measuring stick to determine whether the propagators of the message is a demon spirit or the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, that teaching, that doctrine, that don't go down very well today. That don't go down very well. That don't go down very well with, right, the world outside, that Jesus was born, right? Not like I was born, with the union between a man and a woman. Not like your children were born, but that he was born of the Holy Spirit, right? What happened there was, right, supernatural. God coming upon a virgin. That teaching, that doctrine, doesn't go down very well. And that, right, doctrine, that teaching is our foundation. One of the, right, the bulwarks, if you like, the rocks of our right salvation of Christianity. This is the first test of a true prophet or teacher. They acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate. He came in human flesh. And in 1 John chapter 14, right, this is the Gospel of John, we read these words: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This reality is surely the most profound ever, because it indicates that the infinite became finite. The eternal was conformed to time. The invisible became visible. The natural one reduced himself to the natural. However, having done all this, Jesus, who was called the Word, did not cease to be God, but became God in human flesh, undiminished deity in human form as a man, right? So that's one of the truths. That's the bulwark. And right in John's congregation, there were, right, teachers. There were believers who didn't believe this. They didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. They didn't believe he was born of a virgin. They didn't believe it. So, right, John says, right, to the ones who were true believers, these people are fake. They are fake. They are false. They are not true. The Greek construction does not mean that they confess Christ as having come to earth, but the true believers, that they confess that he came in the flesh. His human body was physically real. Both the full humanity and full deity of Jesus must be equally maintained by the teacher, who is to be considered genuinely of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies to the true nature of the Son of God, while Satan and his forces distort and deny that true nature. John emphasized the crucial importance of sound teaching expressed in God's word as the only and absolute trustworthy standard or measuring stick to determine what is true or fake. That's the one test of what is true or fake. Right, there were, as I've said, people in John's church and in the churches that he was over who didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin. They did not believe it. The next test John gives as to whether we are true or fake, false Christians, is described in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. We read these words, "Beloved," and right, this is full of his epistles, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love," which is agape love. It's the sacrificial love, the redeeming love, the unmerited love that Jesus gives us. John introduces his readers to the reasons why Christians love, because God is the essence of love. The Gnostics, that's what they were called in John's day. This is a group, right, which was, right, they were fakes. They were false believers. They were called Gnostics. The fake and false teachers believed that God was immaterial, just spirit and light, but never defined the source of love as coming from his innermost deep being. They didn't believe that God was love. And right, we read, didn't we, in John's Gospel, that famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God is love. Right, as he is spirit, 1 John chapter 4, verse 24, and light, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, and a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, so he is love. Love is inherent in all he is and does. Even his judgment and wrath are perfectly harmonized with his love. And so he says, right, to his congregation, to his listeners, and right, God is saying to us now, let us love one another. The phrase in verse 7, that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, is the key to the entire section. The original conveys the idea of making sure that love is a habitual practice. He has already written that those who are truly born again do exhibit the character, the habit of love. Everyone who loves is born of God. So this morning, do I love you? Yes, I do. I might not love your smelly socks. Well, you might have smelly socks here this morning, right? I might not love the shirt you wear. I don't know if you love my shirt. I had it for Christmas. I certainly don't love my daughter's car. It's a tip. It's an absolute tip. That's, you know, one extreme, really. And then, my son, he's always, right, polishing his car. Right, and I think that's, that There's one extreme, you and my daughter, and here's the other extreme of my son, right? He's always polishing his car. It's like Buckingham Palace. But, you know, I still love them. I still love them. Everyone who loves is born of God. Those who are born again receive God's nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Since God's nature exhibits his love as a chief characteristic, God's children will also reveal that love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 reads, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, in the Epistle of John, there's two opposites, if you like, because right in John's epistle, I think, is John 1, chapter 2, verse 10, the apostle speaks about brothers there who hate one another. Who hate one another. So that's the opposite of love, isn't it? Hate is the opposite of love. And right, we are commanded, right, in the verse that we just read, that right, it says this in 1 John 4, 21, reads, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must, he says this, must, it's a command, you got to do it, must love his brother also. So whatever you dress like, whatever your lifestyle is, I've got to love you, and you've got to love me. Those who profess to be Christians are characterized by hate, demonstrate by such actions that they have never been born again. The false teachers made claims to enlightenment, transcendent knowledge of God and salvation, but their actions, especially the lack of love, proved all such claims false and fake. So if you want to test yourself this morning, right, as to whether, right, you got the fake or you got the true. Right, there's two tests. The one test is this. Right, do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Do you believe that he came, right, was born of a virgin? The second test is, do you love one another? Do you love one another? I think, you know, in 2016, we should love one another more than what we love one another in 2015. Amen.